Let me just begin with a word of warning. I'm about to completely forego the usual, predictable, expected message on the story of Martha and Mary of Bethany. We all know what that is. Martha is busy with the cares of this world, while pious Mary meditates contemplatively at the feet of Jesus. Martha is who we are, and Mary is who we should be. I find that message singularly unedifying. Or maybe I should rather say, I think it is hopelessly simplistic. I don't think it is especially useful to think of these two sisters as personality types, or maybe better, personality archetypes. For one thing, it is not clear that we can significantly change our own personality by sheer force of will. So, preaching a message holding up one kind of personality as the ideal over another probably is not all that useful. Instead, I want to look again at this lesson through the lens of the collect of the day. So take a look at that again. It's right in your scripture insert at the top. And if there is a single theme in this single sentence, it is this verb, ask. This is a prayer about asking. It is a prayer asking God to have mercy on us for what we ask for, to hear what we ask for, to ignore what we ask for, when that's the better course, and even to grant us the things that we are too foolish or too stubborn or too blind or too proud to ask for. It is a prayer about guiding our asking, about forgiving our foolish asking. But most of all, it is a prayer that grounds itself on the simple fact that a large part of our relationship with God is about what we ask God for. Now, it might be interesting to take a moment to reflect a little bit on what God might be asking of us, too, about how we pray about our response to God's requests. But that is a sermon for another day. I want to say that Martha, instead of being the patsy in this story, instead of being set up as the exemplar of her more pious sister, Martha is a living, breathing example of this collect in action. She may not ask for the right thing, but thanks be to God, Martha is willing to ask for what she wants. This story may be pointing us in a different direction than the one we usually think of, at least today, at least for right now. It may be pointing us in the direction of reflecting for a long, lingering moment on our own lives of prayer. How is your prayer life going? What is your prayer like? Is it something you engage in willingly? Is it something you have a pattern or a habit for? And what gets said in your prayer? Is it mostly a laundry list of stuff you are worried about? Is it long, reverent silences? Or maybe short bursts of quickly distracted attention? I came in here very early on Thursday morning because I was about to go off to a meeting of some significance in my life, and I wanted to spend some time in quiet and prayer. Instead, as I sat here in this building, I found that I was completely distracted by every next little thing that I heard or saw or felt around the building. Martha may not get what she wants, and she may not want what she gets. Type A personalities rarely want or take advice to be still and be prayerful. But we can say this, because she dares to ask, Because she makes her direct appeal to Jesus, she gets what she needs. Maybe, just maybe, she is carrying the overburden of responsibility and conscientiousness exactly because she has never asked for help. Maybe, just maybe, the only way she can be released from the prison of her resentment and bitterness toward that slacker sister of hers is to make her bold request, even if it glances off the hope God really has for her. Because it's exactly by making that request that she opens the possibility for God to respond to her with what she does need, what she really is seeking, even if she is not wise enough or patient enough to know it. Some of the scholars who comment on this little story say that that peculiar form of address Jesus used here, Martha, Martha, something very striking, if only because we rarely see Jesus calling anyone by name unless it is a matter of particular importance. The scholars say this is the moment in which Martha is called to discipleship. It is the moment in which the true calling and work of a disciple is revealed to her. It's the moment, maybe even, in which she is given permission and gives permission to herself to do what is being asked of her, to follow that advice. I wonder how many times, in response to my own prayer, God has been somewhere at the other end of the line saying, "Mark, Mark, oh, you poor, stupid boy, you sweet, dumb thing." But that is exactly where the actual relationship begins. If I am lucky enough, or exasperated enough, or broken enough, or beaten down enough to finally listen. That may be how Martha is my example, my guide, my patron saint. Maybe how she is a patron saint for all of us. All of us goal-oriented, success-focused, purpose-driven people. We, after all, we are the people who get stuff done. We just got done last week saying it is more important to show than to tell the story of God's loving grace toward us. And showing things is doing things. But it's that moment that we get to the breaking point. That moment when we finally have spent too much energy going down the wrong path. That moment when we finally ask for help. It's in that moment that we begin to touch the immensity of our dependence on God. And that is where discipleship, reconciliation, redemption truly begins. God, give us the grace to ask, even if we ask the wrong thing. Give us the courage. Give us the exasperation. Give us the frustration to finally break down and ask, really ask. And then, gentle God, speak to us in a way that we can understand, in a voice that we can hear, and in a message that frees us from chasing after our own misapprehended goals and makes us bold to chase after you. Amen.